Good morning, everyone. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 3. Begin a study this morning in Mark chapter 3. Before we begin, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we humbly bow in your presence this morning. We come as needy sinners, needing your mercy, needing your grace, needing your forgiveness, needing the blood and the righteousness of Christ our Savior. Father, we come before you as your little ones, needing your presence, needing your protection, needing your provision. And Father, I pray that you would send your Spirit upon us this morning, and that you would enable us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, be with us in a mighty and special way this morning, we pray. Show us your glory, Father. Father, we're thankful for this family of believers that you have called together in this place. And Father, I pray you would continue to bless us, that you bless with your presence, that you continue to bless your gospel as it goes forth to call out your sheep, to feed and comfort and edify your sheep. And Father, for those of our number who are in times of great difficulty, we pray for them. We pray, Father, that you give a special portion of your presence in their heart. Father, that you would deliver, that you'd heal, that you'd comfort. We pray, Father, for those who are recovering from surgery. We pray for little Lynn, and we pray for Debbie and others, Father, who are recovering and need you especially. Father, be with them, we pray. Now again, Father, I beg of you that you bless us as we look into your word this morning. Enable us to see Christ our Savior. For it's in his precious name, for his sake we pray. Amen. Now, titled the lesson this morning, Hardness or Healing. Now, you remember last week we looked at the Lord had just taught the disciples and the Pharisees who were there questioning them that acts of mercy, acts of necessity. Now that's work. But though that work is always permitted on the Sabbath day, and the Lord told them he's the right one to judge that because he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Now he taught that, and now he's going to give them a demonstration of it. Let's read our text and we'll come back and make some comments on it. Mark 3, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth straightway and took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Now I want us to see two things from this text this morning. I want us to see the hardness of the religious human heart and how man's religion hardens that heart. And then I want us to see complete healing, complete salvation in Christ the Savior. Now, number one, man's religion always produces a hardness of heart and a hardness of attitude. The Lord was angry. He was grieved when he looked on them for the hardness of their hearts. Now, think about this. The Pharisees who were in the temple that day, this is the appointed day of worship. They came to this place at this time. It's a time of public worship. And they came with hard hearts and hard, mean attitudes. And I want you to know, I point this out so that all of us can guard against this attitude. Watch for it in ourselves. Don't watch for it in others. Watch for it in yourself. Maybe we can nip it in the bud if we see there. But our text gives us three ways the hardness of the heart, the hardness that self-righteousness produces, how it shows itself. First, the Pharisees only watched the Lord so they could accuse him. So they could be divisive. You see that verse 1? He entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Now the Pharisees went to the public worship service, and they went there to watch the Lord. That was their purpose, to go watch the Lord. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? That might look good on the surface. I mean, you think what an opportunity they had. The opportunity to watch the Savior himself. Wouldn't you like that? They had the opportunity to watch the one greater than Solomon in his own temple. They had the opportunity to watch that. I mean, that sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds good until the Holy Spirit reveals to us what was in their hearts. They went to watch the Lord so they could accuse him of something. See, they wanted to draw people away from Christ to themselves. Now you think of the hardness of heart that causes that, to go to the public worship service with the intention of drawing people away from Christ instead of to Christ. That's what a hard heart will produce. They wanted people to follow them, not the Lord. Now I'm sure they appeared like pious worshipers of God on the outside, but the Holy Spirit here told us what was in their heart. It was hatred, divisiveness. They went to the worship service to tear somebody else down rather than seek that the Lord might build them up in the faith. That was what they were doing. And again, I want to warn us to watch for this attitude in ourselves, because I promise you, God can't be worshipped with that attitude. Can't be done. I don't want to watch others to see if they're as pious as I am, as doctrinally straight as I am, as knowledgeable as... That's not the spirit of worship. And wherever you find that attitude, I can promise you this. You might even find it in a believer. But the grace of God did not produce that attitude. It didn't. Hurricane Road Grace Church. We're supposed to believe something about grace. We're supposed to love something about grace, aren't we? The grace of God does not produce that attitude. The grace of God will never produce a self-righteous, a mean-spirited, or a judgmental attitude. Never. The grace of God will not produce legalism. The grace of God will not produce us looking to the law to find out how to live. It won't produce gossip. It won't produce slander. It won't produce backbiting. And wherever you find that attitude, there is at least a lack of grace in the heart. And could be a total absence of it. Could be. And I hope that we'll be watchful for that attitude and pray that God will give us that grace that produces that good fruit. All right, second, a hard Pharisaical heart, this is what it produces. It doesn't want good for others. It doesn't want somebody else to benefit unless they get the glory for it. Look at verse 4 of Mark 3. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Now, the Lord didn't ask him a trick question. The answer to his question was obvious. The Pharisees knew, of course, it's always right to do good on the Sabbath day or any other day. It's always wrong to hurt somebody or kill somebody or harm somebody on the Sabbath day. It's especially wrong when you have the opportunity to do good, but you choose to do evil. They knew the answer to the question, but they didn't say, yeah, you're right, it's lawful to do good. It's lawful to be merciful. It's lawful to give life on the Sabbath day. They didn't answer the question, even though they knew the answer. And here's why. Because if the Lord heals that man with a withered hand, and they say it's right to do good on the Sabbath day, in effect, what they've just done is put their seal of approval on his ministry. They'll have put their seal of approval on this man, Jesus of Nazareth, if they say, yes, it's right to do good on the Sabbath day, and then he heals them. And that's the last thing. Remember, they're there to draw people away from Christ, not put their seal of approval on them. They wanted to discredit the Lord, not see him get any credit. See, they thought, if the Lord gets credit, I'm going to get less. They figured if the Lord got more of a following, I mean, the Lord heals this man on the Sabbath day. He's got a withered hand, it's all crunched up, and if the Lord heals him, well, don't you just figure the Lord's going to get more of a following? Other needy people are going to follow him. The Lord will get more influence, and the Pharisees figure they're going to lose some. They had a hard, mean-spirited attitude, and the worst thing about it is they wrapped it in religion and tried to make it look like their religion made it right for them to have that hard, mean, divisive attitude. They used religion as a way to gain advantages for themselves and notoriety for themselves, instead of using religion, instead of using this time of public worship to seek the Lord and see poor sinners receive mercy. They'd rather cut somebody off than see poor sinners be saved and comforted by Christ. That's how mean-spirited, how hard-hearted that they were. They were seeking prominence for themselves instead of seeking humility and worship. They were seeking that Moses seat instead of sitting out just out of the way somewhere where you don't cause any distraction and hearing Christ preach. And I cannot tell you how much I want us to avoid that attitude. Like Brother Henry used to say, this is not a poor man's country club. We're not here trying to, you know, go up in the pecking order. And this is where what a believer ought to be doing is trying to go down instead of going up. Right? Oh, I want us to avoid that attitude. Well, here's the third thing. Legalism and works. It always produces hard hearts that can only hate Christ, not love him. Now, we just read this. The Lord healed that man. And look what it said in verse 5. And when he looked round about on them with anger and being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. These men had been involved in producing their own righteousness for so long. They'd been judgmental on others for so long that, you know, you're not living up to my standard. Their hearts were hardened. Here they are in the house of God with the Son of God himself, and they have ill will toward their brethren instead of wanting good for some poor sinner because their hearts are just past feeling. This word hardened that Mark uses, it means covered with a callus. Their jealousy of others had just been rubbing on their heart for so long, it became calloused over. So that when they see somebody who's suffering, they can't feel sympathy for them because their hearts is covered over with a callus. They've been divisive for so long. That irritating, divisive, wish for division had been rubbing on their hearts for so long. It's calloused over. They can't feel any humility anymore. They can't feel kindness anymore. All they can feel is a desire for self-promotion, anger, and resentment. And they're going to try to justify it by religion. They're going to take the word of God and twist it to justify that hard-hearted attitude. And that kind of attitude can only produce hatred, which is the opposite of love. Our Lord told us, hereby shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another. Well, works, religion, self-righteousness, even for a believer to say, yes, I'm saved by grace, but, you know, I'm better than other people because I do this and they don't do this. That attitude will never produce love for your brother. It'll always produce hatred for your brethren and hatred and resentment for God himself. That's what happened to these men. Look at verse 6. Now, here's how angry that the Lord healed a man. The Lord healed this poor man. Now he can go out and work, he can do money, you just think what a blessing this was for this man. And they were so angry about it that the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. They didn't want the Lord to go help other people, they wanted to destroy them. And this is worth noting, the Pharisees and the Herodians hated one another. I mean, they hated one another. But boy, they went to him right quick and they could join together against Christ, couldn't they? To destroy him. And that's the only thing that kind of attitude can produce in the heart. Now, here's a warning for you and me. You think about this. That attitude drew the Lord's anger. He looked on them with anger. I tell you, that just scares me so much it takes my breath away. I don't want the Lord to be angry with me. Now, I know that we're born with a spiritually dead heart. We absolutely are. I mean, there's no question about it. But we can harden our hearts further. We can harden our own hearts. Remember when the Lord sent the plagues in Egypt? After each one of the plagues, during the plague, Pharaoh said, ask God, help Moses, ask God to stop this plague, and I'll let the people go. And the Lord stopped the plague, and Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. 11 times that happened. And then God told Moses, now I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Now I'm going to harden his heart. I'm going to harden that heart so much, now Pharaoh could not believe. He could not see. He could not because his heart, first he hardened it, and then God hardened his heart. And you know what that led to? It led to his destruction in the Red Sea, didn't it? It led to the destruction of the most powerful army on earth at that time at the Red Sea. And it led to the destruction of a whole generation in the land of Egypt. Because he hardened his heart. The nation Israel did the same thing. They hardened their hearts. The Lord came unto his own. And what happened? His own received him not. They hid their eyes so that they could not see Christ. They said, nope, I don't want to see. Nope, I don't want to hear. Don't talk to us anymore about this. They hardened their hearts. And now, what does Paul tell us in 2 Corinthians 3? Now God has hardened their heart. Now God has blinded their eyes, so as a nation, they cannot see Christ. Because God has blinded their eyes. I just can't tell you how much. I don't want that for this congregation. I want us to avoid that attitude so the Lord doesn't blind our eyes and harden our hearts as we sit here in our religion. I want us to see Christ. I want us to know Christ. I want us to know and believe and love God's grace and mercy for sinners. And have that soften our hearts for each other and for other folks too. But that's what we are by nature. And those hearts will stay hard unless the Lord does something for us. Well, here's the second thing I want us to see. It's complete healing in Christ. The gospel of Christ always produces spiritual healing for the heart. And there are three things I see here in our text. This always happens when God does all the saving for the sinner. The first thing is this. God's election of a people. Verse 3. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Now, I'm just pretty sure there's a pretty good crowd of people around. Wouldn't you say? It's Sabbath day in the temple. Pretty good chance there's a good crowd of people around. And yet, whenever you have a group of people of any size, there are a lot of needs. There are a lot of needs. Just in this group right here. Everybody's got a story, don't they? Everybody's got a need. There's something. There's something with everybody. Somebody is sick. Somebody is sorrowing. Somebody needs help. Somebody needs to be pointed to the Savior. Somebody needs some help. And out of that crowd, the Savior called one specific man to be an object of his mercy. That's election. The Lord chose to be gracious to one in that crowd. And that's the only hope any sinner has. The only hope that you and I have is that the Lord has chosen to be merciful to us. Our only hope is that God will call us through the preaching of the gospel, say, stand forth. That's our only hope. Now, the Lord knew what he was going to do for this man, but this man didn't know. The Lord said, stand forth. That's all he knew. And he stood forth. Well, that's the second thing. When God speaks to a sinner, not when the preacher speaks to a sinner, when God speaks to a sinner, they hear the gospel as a command. When the Lord said, stand forth, everybody understands that's a command, don't we? The Lord didn't say, now would you mind be an example and stand forth. If it's not too much trouble, you know, would you step out? The Lord said, stand forth. And the man stood forth. Because this is a command from Christ. And the message of the gospel is a commandment. The message of the gospel is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a commandment to you. It's a commandment to me. It's a commandment to everybody we preach to. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You just trust Christ to obey the law for you. Let you trust Him. His righteousness is all you need to stand before God. His obedience to the law is all you need to stand perfect before God. And He don't need any help from you. Before conversion or after conversion. It's all Christ's obedience. Now just trust Him. Trust Christ that His sacrifice is all it takes to put your sin away. Just trust Him. Trust Christ. Trust His blood alone. That's all it takes to cleanse you and make you holy before God. It's the blood of Christ. The blood of His sacrifice. You're not going to be made holy because you start sinning less. No. You trust Christ alone. Now, make it your goal. I mean, I know you know this. Make it your goal not to sin, but now you're going to. Trust that Christ, His blood is all it takes to wash you from all of your sin. Just trust Him. Now that's a commandment. This is not up for debate. This is not up for negotiation. It's not an invitation. It's a commandment. Trust Christ. Trust Christ. Don't look to the law. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Now listen to me. You won't find the commandment of God in the law. Now you'll find a lot of commandments in the law, won't you? But you won't find the commandment. The commandment of God is the commandment of the gospel. Trust Christ. Believe on Him. That's the commandment. To believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that brings me to the third thing. The gospel command is impossible for us to obey. It's impossible, isn't it? But with a command from God comes the ability to obey. Verse 5, and when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now remember, God's commandment, the commandment of the gospel, is trust Christ to do all the saving for you. Trust Christ to be all of your salvation. You're not going to contribute anything to it. You just trust Christ. Trust Him completely. But our problem is we have a spiritually dead nature. We cannot believe Christ and we will not believe Christ. That's our nature. This man with the withered hand, this hand was paralyzed, probably for his whole life. His hand had withered up, shrunk up. It never did grow properly. The bones didn't grow properly. The muscles, the ligaments, the tendons, none of that grew properly. And what muscle and tendons and things that they were there, just it had atrophy and shrunk up. And all those tendons and ligaments had just hardened and because they'd never been moved. And it was physically impossible for that man to stretch forth that hand. It's impossible. Heather, you never dream of telling somebody to do that in physical therapy. Their hand, they can't do it. And you can't make them. But the Lord commanded him, stretch forth your hand. And with the commandment came the ability. And that man did the physically impossible and stretched forth his hand. And it was whole. Just like the other one. That man did something he could not do. And he didn't do it by his power. He did it by the power of God. You see that? Now this congregation, every person in this room, you've heard a lot of good preaching. I mean, you have heard a lot of good preaching. You've heard from many different men from all over the place tell you, believe on Christ. They take God's word and they show you Christ. They show you the glory of Christ so that you believe on Him. You've heard this many, many times. A true statement. If you would be saved, you must believe on Christ. But again, our problem by nature is we can't do it. We can't do it. We cannot believe on Christ. But if you're here this morning and you have trusted Christ, this will be your confession. I trusted Christ by God-given ability. I did it by the power of God. It wasn't by my power. It wasn't by my decision. It was by the power of God. I believe Christ because God gave me faith and I can't not believe Him. I believe Christ because God gave me the power, the ability to become His child. And if you've not trusted Christ, I pray that you will. I pray that you will. You don't know how I pray for you. You don't know. And this is what I've determined to do. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to preach Christ to you as long as the Lord allows. I'm not going to try to talk you into nothing. I'm not going to try to talk you into it. I'm just going to pray for you. And I'm going to preach Christ to you. If the Holy Spirit shows you Christ, if you see Him, you'll do what you cannot do. You'll trust Christ. That's my prayer for us. And if you haven't believed Christ, I know when you will. I know when you will. I already know it. You believe Christ when God the Holy Spirit speaks to you and He commands you to trust Christ. You're going to hear this pastor and you're going to hear other preachers and other pastors tell you believe on Christ. And you won't do it. But when God the Holy Spirit speaks to you, He's going to command you. And you're going to believe. You're going to do something that is impossible for you to do. You're going to believe on Christ by the power of God. Now that's the one and only way any dead son of Adam is ever going to believe on Christ. Is if God the Holy Spirit commands us. And with that commandment comes the power. Comes the ability. And you'll be like this man was physically. Now, this man's got a perfect hand. That hand was all withered up and just completely useless his whole life. Now it's perfect. Why? He can work. He can tie his shoes. He can button a shirt. There's so many things this man can do. He's got that hand's all. But God the Holy Spirit gives you faith in Christ. You will have perfect, complete spiritual life. It'll be perfect and you'll never lose it. Now you'll still sin. You'll still be grieved with yourself. But that life that God gives you is perfect. It's perfect. And that's what God's grace always produces. Now we saw what man's works, what man's self-righteousness, what does that produce? This is what grace produces. Which one do you want? Oh, I want God's grace, don't you? I want His grace. I want His grace to save me. I want His grace in my heart to direct my walk. To make me loving and care about you, to care about others, we need God's grace. It's just constant, constant need, isn't it? But that's what happens when God saves a sinner. And I'd a whole lot rather have God save me than me try to save myself. How about you? All right, I pray the Lord bless that to you.